Ladies and gentlemen, if I could have your attention, we're going to start here in a few minutes. I know we have a good presentation by former Mayor Driscoll here. My name is John Camardo. I'm a city councilor here. Mayor Quill called me this morning. He's feeling under the weather, so he asked me to fill in. We're honored to have Matthew Driscoll here, who is a former mayor of the city of Syracuse. He served in that capacity from 2001 to 2009. Mr. Driscoll is currently the president and CEO of the New York State Environmental Facilities Corporation, the arm of Governor Cuomo's administration that provides low-cost financing to local governments for wastewater, drinking water infrastructure. At EFC, President Driscoll manages the largest and most successful state revolving loan fund in the nation, managing more than $12 billion in assets. EFC ended the 2014 fiscal year with more than $2.3 billion in financing and refunding the local governments, the largest in the history of EFC. And once again, New York State led the nation with the largest investment in wastewater infrastructure. Today, Mr. Driscoll will give us highlights of Governor Cuomo's State of the State and his budget presentations for the next fiscal year. I'd like to welcome former Mayor Matthew Driscoll, and I'd like to ask the Mayor Driscoll if you would bring Governor Cuomo our sincere condolences on the loss of his passing of his father, who was a great friend of the city of Auburn, and his son is a great friend of the city of Auburn. We look forward to working with him in the future. Thank you for your efforts and the governor's efforts and all he's doing for our community. So, Mayor Driscoll.
Thanks, John. Thanks, John. And I'm going to be speaking up so you can hear me, and also our meeting today is web stream, I'm told. So they're watching us, no doubt, all across the country, right here in Auburn. Let me begin by thanking the mayor and the city council. Thank you for your hospitality, opening up this beautiful chamber today for us. As John mentioned, yesterday, as you well know, the governor unleashed his fifth budget and the state of the state, and for the reasons that John mentioned, with the passing of his father, Governor Cuomo, both of those events were consolidated into yesterday. So today, folks like myself and other members of the cabinet are doing what we've always done, and that is bringing the message from the governor directly to people across the state of New York. Not everybody's got an opportunity, of course, to go to Albany and to witness that. So our charge is to bring highlights of it across the state, and that's what I'm doing here today, and I appreciate all of you coming. So again, I'll do a little bit of the history because I think it's important that we remember, you know, I mentioned this is the fifth budget and state of the state. Some of the things that the governor put in place, certainly a lot of accountability when he first began. And so really helping us move forward, we've come a long way. Again, here's a comparison that you can see from 2010, the governor's first year. When he took office, unemployment was about 8.9, almost 9% in the state of New York. Today, it's just under 6%. The lowest credit rating history right now that we've had in the last 40 years. Upstate decay, I don't need to talk to any of you about that. We live here, we know the challenges that we've faced. Upstate is rebuilding. The RADCs have gone a long way in helping to do that. I'll talk a little bit more about that. In 2010, taxes and spending were really, really continually going up. Today, taxes and spending cuts are the lowest rate in 50 years. Property taxes were growing at about 6% a year in 2010, and now they've been capped, as you know, since 2011 at 2%, and then frozen last year. Lots of press about that. We made a lot of headlines in terms of some of the progress that the state made. We're really a state of opportunity. By the way, this is called the Opportunity Agenda this year as well, so it really fits in to the agenda that the governor laid out yesterday, which is really made up of 5 points here. Economic opportunity, education, public safety, government reform, and fairness for all. These five areas really are very succinct in terms of, these are the same five agendas that he started with, and he has made progress each and every year along the lines. And again, he focuses in these five areas. State of economic opportunity, of course, If we're going to keep it growing, we must continue strategies that are working. Fiscal discipline is something that the governor brought to Albany that Albany, frankly, hadn't seen before. This chart here talks about inflation and spending for the state of New York. The state of New York was spending at a rate of about 6.8% every year. But if you look at the inflation number and income growth, obviously they were spending more money than was coming in. And that's just a recipe for disaster. We don't do that in our own homes, I'm sure. And certainly in government, you want to change that. So here is the change over the course of the last 4 years. As I mentioned, it was about a 6.8% growth rate each and every year. It's averaging now about 1.3%. By the way, the governor imposed on the state government the same 2% cap that all municipalities across the state are under as well. Spend less, you can tax less. He's made some historic progress with the lowest middle tax class rate, as you can see here, since 1953. Corporate income tax rate, since 68, and the lowest manufacturers tax rate since 1917. These are very important, of course, because we are still an industrial state as well. So by controlling spending at the 2%, again, the same cap on state government, he can continue to cut taxes, and that's what he proposes to do again this year, beginning with small businesses. So you see here what's being proposed is reducing those taxes from about 6.5% to 2.5%, which would make it the lowest rate for small businesses in 100 years. In 2011, I mentioned the tax cap. Last year, they froze it. This year, they're going to cut it. And what do we mean by that? He is proposing to pass $1.7 billion in property tax relief for about 2.3 million people. You can see here, 1.3 million homeowners and also renters, over 1 million renters as well, saving people about $1,000 a year. That's real money. You can see here kind of the breakout of where the populations are across the state of New York. But also infrastructure. John mentioned what I do in his introduction of me. Infrastructure is very important. You all know that as well. Infrastructure really is the backbone of any community. If you're going to retain commerce and grow it, you have to make sure you've got strong infrastructure. Governor's doing just that. You can see here, settlement funds are going to be used to help finance the new Tappan Zee Bridge, which will keep the cost down, which means the tolls can stay down, and in this case, it'll really help ensure that for a year. This is another big, important item, particularly for people who don't have access, but also for the economic engine of New York State. You can see here, broadband is a big issue. Too many New Yorkers do not have it, so the governor's proposing investing $500 million to leverage $500 million from private sector investment, and the goal is at the conclusion of 2018 to have the state completely wired. This is a really important issue, particularly for people who live in rural areas. And today, let's face it, businesses, small and large, are much more mobile. So the idea is to give people that access so that they can... it's the governor. So that, you can help grow economy. The Adirondacks is an example where, people can live in an area that they choose that is less populated, but still conduct business, helping grow tourism as well. So this is a big item and an important item for New York State. So in thinking about, growing jobs in the state, again, the same style, the same aggressive platform in making sure that we're connecting job growth and our economy to education assets. If you look at how the economy grows globally, it's really done with and through education assets, because they really are platforms for economic development. That's what he's proposing again this year. He's going to be making about $110 million investment. It's about $55 million into SUNY and $55 million into CUNY, and $50 million will also continue the investment into Startup New York. Because these are where, if you look at the global numbers, again, I'll repeat myself, that's where jobs are being created around the globe and throughout this country. And we've got a great system. They're going to double down on the state venture capital fund, very important to regions like ours, where we call this our home. Venture capital, as many of you know, is challenged in upstate New York. And this will go a long way in really helping find the right types of investments and helping be a partner so that we can invest in growing technologies to help grow our economy. Governor's clearly been focused on upstate economic development like never before. And this is a snapshot over the course of the last 4 years. You can see how the unemployment numbers are dropping. He'll be the first to say there's always more work to do. The REDCs are reviving our region here, and it's working across the state of New York. And this is what I mentioned earlier. This investment will continue again. It's really been a great partnership, and it does a couple of things that I think are very important, you know, for folks like us and local government. Because no longer are the decisions made in Albany. It's not top-down. The idea is that it really is generated from the bottom up, and it involves the academic institutions, business community, people coming together, making decisions on what they see is important in their region. Because New York State's economy is not one economy. It's different economies throughout. The state's been broken up into 10 regions. All 10 regions are different. I think it's fair to say that the economy in Western New York is not of the economy in Long Island, and certainly or in the North Country in the Adirondacks. So it really gives local people an opportunity to promote what they know will work in their communities, and it's been working very well. We've all heard about the Buffalo Billion, if you will, that was really a major investment that was made into that area. By the way, it's not just Buffalo. It's all of Western New York, but Buffalo is a big city, so it's called the Buffalo Billion. He is now proposing $1.5 billion in a competitive process, much exactly like the REDC, for upstate regions to compete. What does that mean? I mentioned that the state's been broken up into 10 regions. Three regions will not be eligible to compete. Buffalo, they already have a billion-dollar investment. New York City and Long Island. So the other seven regions will all be competing for this money. Again, we talk about infrastructure. It's very important for here, particularly in upstate New York. You can see here some snapshots of the Port of Albany, Oswego, et cetera, Syracuse Rail Yard. All really great assets, but really need investment. The State Fair, perhaps you've heard a little bit about this, draws about $1 million a year. You all know the State Fair story. This year, the governor is investing $50 million into the State Fair. And why is that? The State Fair kind of needs a bit of a facelift. It's been around a long, long time, but it also needs to modernize. I am privileged to be a part of the team that's looking at how they'll do that and make recommendations to the governor. If you think about the fair and where it sits on major Interstate 695 West. It connects to New York State Thruway. If you look at geographically where we sit, we are in proximity of over 6 million people within just a few hours' drive. And so there's 375 acres there. So there's lots of opportunity to think differently on how we might be able to better utilize and collaborate with that land and businesses and still have the important agriculture focus at the New York State Fair. So more to come about that, but $50 million investment there, it's well placed. Tourism, of course, is very important to New York State, particularly in upstate. We know what took place right here with the governor's challenge, with the fishing challenge here. It was a great event. I got to fish. I'd never fished the lake, and we had a blast. And I think it was really great for the region. Those will continue this year, the Adirondack challenges, you can see that. Those will continue. He's going to add $25 million to invest in the I Love New York campaign, as you can see here. I talked a little bit about, you know, why it's important to connect with our academic institutions, those platforms of economic development. And so it's important that we're also out front and center. You may have heard a little bit about this. The governor is talking about really now taking the next step and getting New York State at people's doors globally. He's proposing $35 million Global New York Export-Import Development Fund to help New York businesses. I think a lot of times, and if you know the business environment, particularly in this region, exporting is really big here, but it's also very quiet. So there's lots of opportunity to help support existing businesses and grow that economy as well, and they're going to be doing that globally. Again, here, we talk about kind of opportunities for all. Of course, there are those that are, you know, less fortunate. And poverty, as we all know, exists in every community here, mine, Syracuse, across the state. And we rank fairly high in that category, sad to say. So while they're working to raise the minimum wage, you've probably heard a little bit about this, the gap still continues to grow. So he's proposing a $10.50 minimum wage increase and $11.50 in New York City, by the way. He's investing $4.5 million to expand emergency food shelter access across the state of New York. And to provide housing dollars, there's going to be about nearly $490 million to expand affordable housing and community development programs across the state, and they're going to spread that across the state. So, you know, communities like this, mine and others, are going to be able to have opportunity to address critical housing issues. Urban Youth Jobs Program provides a new opportunity for 20,000 young men and women. Actually did this last year. They're going to continue to focus on this. There's tax credits available for employers who hire a person. So there's dollars to support the training that a company may have to provide to that individual. And there's tax credits for the companies as well. MWBE, some of you I know locally in government are familiar with this. You know, in 2010, it was about a 10% goal in MWBE participation from New York State. They raised the bar in 2011 to that, and you can see to 20%. And so if you see there, if you can see it, the state did about $800 million in MWBE sector business in 2010. You can see it's grown to $1.6 billion in 2011, and of course in 2014, hitting about $2 billion. So the new goal will be 30%. It's a goal, but I can say my agency, as an example, you know, we've hit, I think our numbers were just about 26%. So it really makes a difference. I'll take questions at the end. To really try to make sure that women-owned and minority-owned businesses really get opportunities that were not available previously. Again, helping graduates get on their feet. I don't know, I'm assuming some of you have young people who are in college or graduated. This is a program that the governor feels strongly about, helping them you know, meet a challenge, which is a very challenging environment for young folks to find a job and come out with heavy debt. So he's talking about a program and proposing one that will help for 2 years cover the cost of that debt for that student, beginning in 2015. Education, of course, is the great equalizer. The system needs dramatic reform. This follows suit with what the governor's been doing from day one. In all these areas, he's been very consistent and focused on. Of course, we want the best teachers in our classrooms for our children. In 2013, you'll recall, they put a bar exam for teachers to take. Last year, every prospective teacher had to take a 12th grade literacy test across the state of New York. About 32% of those folks did not pass that equivalency test. So he's really focused on really setting standards for entering the profession, much like you would for a doctor or a lawyer who wants to recruit the best and brightest. He's proposing paying full tuition to SUNY and CUNY for the top graduate program candidates who commit to teaching in New York for at least 5 years. So they go to one of those schools, they say they're going to stay in New York, they sign to that, of course, and they will cover that cost. He's also proposing to create a residency program for teachers, just like the ones that doctors use. Again, you know, trying to really establish the best and the brightest. Good news is that now we have the teacher evaluations, but they have not really worked to the degree that I believe, and he believes, that they were intended to. Why? If you look here, this is just kind of one snapshot. You know, third to eighth graders ranked proficient in English were about 31.4% across the state of New York as a mean average. 99% of the teachers were rated effective. So something is askew. And so the idea, again, of how do we make sure that we've got teachers who are best prepared to really help address the needs of our children, this slide speaks to that. Real, accurate, fair teacher evaluations. As you can see here, to reduce the over-testing of our students. Kids are under tremendous pressure in Common Core. I'm sure you've all heard about that. They're proposing to eliminate local exams and base 50% of the evaluations on one state exam, and the other 50% would be limited to the independent classroom observations. He was going to incentivize performance, again, by giving $20,000 bonuses to top teachers who are legitimately rated highly effective. And for teachers who need support, again, continuing to make sure that they get that support and that mentoring. In the unfortunate case here, you can read for yourself that despite the help, if it doesn't improve, the governor is taking steps to have ineffective teachers removed from the classroom. So again, acknowledging that education should be the great equalizer, there's no doubt that there's a disparity kind of between the have and the have-nots. And you know, it's really been a problem, certainly in my old job, you know, in a city school district and versus some of the rural districts or suburban districts, it's very different. You can see here state average, you know, is 76.4% of graduation rates, but the failing schools rated by the state are about 47%. They seem to be concentrated largely in or around urban areas. More than 9 out of 10 students in failing schools are minority or poor. There's about 178 schools that are labeled as failing. The city of Buffalo, I think nearly all of them are failing schools, if I'm correct. 77 have been failing for over 10 years, yet still same funding, no action, and they've been labeled failing schools. So that means about 250,000 kids went through these failing schools, and New York State didn't do anything. Education industries cry that their more money will solve the problems is false. So the proposal, when a school fails for 3 years, a nonprofit, you can read here, another school district or a turnaround expert must take over the school. Don't know the process for that. This is what's being proposed. They must create a plan that would dramatically overhaul and improve the entire school. Charter schools provide choices, as we know. They're going to propose adding another 100 to the cap and make the cap statewide to eliminate artificial limits on where a charter school can open. So again, he's calling to pass the $100 million education tax credit for public and private scholarships and pass the DREAM Act with $27 million in this year's budget to make that a reality. He's also, again, focused last year, of course, continues from the beginning with the focus on pre-K, wants to invest, as you can read here, high-quality pre-K for four-year-olds, keep it going by investing $365 million this year, the next part of the $1.5 billion commitment. And to take the next step to the state-of-the-art early education, $25 million to begin designing programs to help three-year-olds. It's targeted. So it'll largely be in urban areas. It's not mandated. You can apply if you want. It's competitive. State aid schedule is scheduled by the existing formula to grow about 1.7% or $377 million. He is proposing an increase of 4.8% or in round dollars about $1.1 billion if the legislature passes the reforms that we just looked at. So the legislature would have to pass all of those reforms, and then school funding would become from 1.7% to 4.8, from $377 million to $1.1 billion. Public safety, it's very important. We all know that. We thank the men and women that do that every day for us. We know, obviously, terrorism, what happened in Paris just recently, but those things unfortunately can happen here and have happened here. The security review of the state's counterterrorism capacity, you can read here, the MTA Port Authority, major portals, if you will. Ray Kelly, former New York City police chief, is going to be the special advisor for Homeland Security. To do that, he's proposing investing $50 million in snow plows. That's not local equipment, that's state equipment. but across the state of New York. So, you know, we see, although this winter's been fairly mild, although if you were in Buffalo a few weeks back, it wasn't so mild, and I happened to go there with the cabinet during those couple days, and they got, we're used to snow here, right? But they had 7 feet. It was really something to see, I have to say. But the point being is the storms seem to be more frequent, more severe, and there's clearly a need to upgrade the equipment from New York State DOT and Thruway. Selby's going to do that with $50 million. Creating a storm online system, you might have heard a little bit about this, $15 million, so that New York State really isn't relying on other systems, and there's multiple systems. And so when you're thinking about planning for, you know, severe weather or storms and so forth, and if you get multiple messages, you know, it makes it challenging. So the state is going to be building their own. Government reform, he's been doing that from day one, continues to do that today. Real campaign finance reform and public financing. Again, I'm sure over the many years we've all heard about this. He's been continually focused on it, and I know in earnest conversations with the legislature about it at all. A progressive New York Fairness for All has again been part of his program from the very beginning. As you can see here, we're only one of two states that really draw a bright line for adult criminal responsibilities at age 16, excuse me, no matter what the charge. So they are talking about and proposing to raise that to 17-year-olds to get them out of adult prisons. Criminal justice systems, there's problems in reality and also problems in perception. If we think about over the course of the last few years some of the national things that have happened and what we saw happen in New York City, there really needs to be a real effort made to address the situation. That's what the governor is doing, and he will be doing that in earnest. Women, again, the women's equality agenda, you know, he proposed that 2 years ago. It still hasn't passed. 10-point plan. He is back on that. Again, very important to make sure that women are treated equally and respectfully with this act. Last fall, SUNY approved the first proposal ever to mandate affirmative consent to ensure women's access to law enforcement. It's a big problem on college campuses. 1 out of 4 young women are accosted sexually in college. That's an alarming statistic as a father and just as a citizen. Governor's introducing a law to extend these protections to every student in the state, increase the investment to $403 million. You can see here it's about a 20% increase for homelessness, by the way, to aid in the fight against that issue. So on the numbers, the 2015 opportunity agendas look like this. This is the change in spending. I talked about the 1.7 state total percent. That's what it'll grow at, under the 2% cap. Agencies, 0.6%. Basically, it's flat. It's been flat every year. I've had to keep my budget flat and do more like everybody else has, and everybody's done a really good job on that. Medicaid index figures, you'll see here, about 3.6%. And then there's the two pieces here. You know, is the change in spending going to be from 1.7% to 4.8%? And the governor firmly believes it will be. It's a process, of course. That's what the budget is. But that's the opportunity for education to go from 1.7 to 4.8. Settlement funds, we've heard about $5 billion, right? Everybody heard about that? So here's where it's going. Federal liabilities, those are from decade-old federal disagreements with respect to health reimbursements. Upstate revitalization, I talked about that. It's about $1.5 billion. And then infrastructure and other investments, a little north of $3 billion. These are the investments here you can see. I won't go through them all. On the settlement funds, that totals, like I said, a little over $3 billion. So ladies and gentlemen, that's the presentation today. I really appreciate you coming here and listening to me. I'm happy to take any questions that you may have. If I can answer them, I will. If I can't, I'll tell you that. But know that we are taking copious notes. John in the back is making sure that what questions are asked, we bring those back so that we can report back what people are in fact saying. And last thing I want to make is this is a legislative executive process. That means it's a negotiation, right? It's a budget. Same thing that happens in this room with the mayor and the city council happens down there. So, you know, if you feel strongly about these issues, you should absolutely be speaking to your assembly person, your state senator, because they are, in fact, part of this very process, which helps build this budget, which is the blueprint for the state of New York. So having said that, thanks again. I look forward to any questions you may have.
I hope they were able to pick us up on that.
Yes, sir.
Is there any chance that some of that $5.3 billion windfall could be used to reduce or eliminate mandates for local government?
You know, again, and that's where I'll say this is what was proposed yesterday. This is the governor's plan. It is a process, and it is a negotiation. And as I just said, you know, if you take an interest in these things, you really should be reaching out to your local state elected representatives. The budget is always a negotiation.
Yeah. To what extent will the upstate competition through the RUDC for the $1.5 billion be sort of funneled through the existing programs that the agencies have?
Yeah. There was not specific detail on that, but it is going to be the same process as the RUDC, both in terms of how the applications flow, how they're reviewed before you put in a plan here in the Central New York region, which we have fared extremely well. You would review that locally. It will be scored at your level for about 20%, and then the technical criteria for agencies like mine counts for 80%. So it's the same process going forward. There'll be more information, though, rolling out on that as well.
Mayor?
Good to see you, Mayor.
Good to see you.
Everything well, I hope?
Yeah, it's all good.
You're well.
Thank you.
It's a little different than the governor's post yesterday.
He's the governor, I'm not.
The microgrid prize money, is that that's outside of this project, right?
Or that $1.5 billion?
Well, they're saying that there's another $500 million unless they have more competition with the different like startup companies. And
right.
But with the NYSERDA, he's also got some great.
Well, that, as you know, was still, and John and I chatted a little bit before this started, because Auburn here is really being very proactive and always in credit on how they are really trying to take advantage, of some prior programs, both through NYSERDA and what the governor announced, looking at how you can really build smart grid energy needs. We've met from my agency. I would like to try to play a role in helping foster that. But to answer your question, what I think, I don't want to give you advice, but what I would suggest is part of what you've been approaching here really would fit nicely into what you propose as a regional plan. Because the idea, I want to make this very clear, the plan is supposed to be a plan. It's not just say, well, I need money for all infrastructure. The plan is, the idea is, like anything you do in your own private sector, home or business, you try to leverage, right? So if there's money on the table that can come from the state, of course, wants to know how that money would be spent, how it would help grow an economy, create jobs, address needs like infrastructure, which includes kind of your proposals. But the plan must be a plan. And so, working with the same academic institutions, the same businesses that you do, something that's going to help grow the economy in the particular region is really going to score big for how those plans are looked at. That process continues, and I think this area in particular has a real opportunity with this competitive program. Yes?
I know you mentioned that obviously infrastructure is very important to this region and all over New York State. But what if you do know, or maybe Roberta or Anthony knows, the governor's stance on the 81 project?
I don't know. I don't know the governor's position on that. You're talking about the highway for service.
Yeah.
No, I don't know the governor's position on that. That's being handled, as you probably know, through DOT. Joe McDonald is spearheading that. Dates are soon nearing to finalize what the final It is a process. The life expectancy of the highway is it sunsets in 2017, the end of 2017. So there's ample time to make an informed discussion, have an informed discussion, and make an informed decision on what will be ultimately done with that roadway. Let me
talk to a few others.
Yes.
From the presentation, the governor's mentioning that he's going to put $3 billion into infrastructure and other critical assets. How would that then determine how to use if that passes the budget?
Well, those particular investments that he's talked about really won't impact my agency. But in your, again, I'll go back to this competitive program, the dollars, there's real opportunity for that type of investment if it's put in a thoughtful way into the plan. Again, thinking about how infrastructure may create a platform to grow a particular business or industry. So there's opportunity there. On my side, and you should know this because we work together. We just actually announced a new policy a week ago. I'm not sure if you heard about it. So we are, again, changing dramatically the way we do business. When I first arrived, business was done in a very regimented way where if a community came in, we would give them a short-term loan, basically a credit card that they could draw down for the first 3 to 5 years. But what I noticed was many people weren't. But yet we had to segment those dollars, and they sat idle on the sideline. So they were committed but not spent. So we changed all that. People now have 1 year. They have to start drawing. So we get our money out the door, in the ground, creating jobs, and addressing environmental issues. What we just did, what we just announced, I think is very exciting. For our hardship program, that's Category D communities, we're offering 0% financing, free money. It's for populations of under 300,000, but that are also below the statewide median household income, MHI. So there's obviously specific criteria that goes with that. It's only on the clean water side. It is not the drinking water program side. And I know here, certainly in Auburn, by the way, you guys have done a great job addressing the drinking water needs. Very outdated here, like it is right down the road in our hometown. But it's on the clean water side, but it's 0% financing. And, you know, look, it doesn't get any less expensive than that. So you're just paying principal. So we're excited about that, and we expect great things from it. You're welcome. Yes?
Yes, on the infrastructure programs, the investment in the infrastructure from the government's plan, how much is that going to trickle down to local municipalities like the city of Auburn?
Well, as you saw, if I can go back, these are statewide infrastructure investments, obviously into the thruway. So the thruway doesn't go through the middle of Auburn, but, you know, it's very close. Equipment needs, upstate hospital improvements. I don't know the specific hospitals, but I do know that in upstate in particular, hospitals are very challenged with capital costs. So this is an example of where these dollars are going to come and help in the infrastructure of healthcare, as an example.
Well, Auburn Community Hospital.
Yeah, I don't know the list, but I would assume, just like hospital close to where I live, likely has some challenges. And that those dollars are targeted to upstate communities and healthcare centers. Yeah.
I know that any of the construction that's going on, whether it's hospitals or roads, or the scaffolding law has to be changed. And hopefully with the news of Mr. Silver being investigated, hopefully the legislator will take up that legislation because it's costing every project millions upon millions of dollars, whether it's the Captain C or 81 or any of the schools. And I hope that the governor would push legislation in that area and remove it. We're the only state in the country that has
scaffolding from my old days and certainly now as well. But that'll be something obviously that we bring back and let people know that, you know, it's a concern.
There's a major portion on energy again in there. People should be aware of what the governor's doing with the Public Service Commission, revising that. You know, the Public Service Commission is taking a look at really what they are. It's also in there, a big part of it. And
And same with the regulatory issues. I do know that those are being looked at as how we can unwind some of them, because they're frankly choke points to sometimes how, particularly in the transportation of energy, they're prohibitive. So thank you for pointing it out. You're correct. Well, listen, again, thank you for coming today. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be heard, and your questions as well. I will bring them back to the governor's office so he can hear directly. And again, it's a legislative process, so you should be speaking with your assembly folks as well. Let them know how you feel. Thanks again, everybody. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, John. I really appreciate it. Thank you for
that. Yes, you did a nice job. Absolutely.